Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast. Truly, I thank you all for taking this ride with me and with us as we take a look at how we can make the police departments in your neighborhoods, your locales, better, and how they can work more efficiently and effectively with the community in which they are trusted to serve and to protect. To serve and protect, hopefully, is not just words in people's mouths, but it is really something that they actually believe in, trust in, hope in, want, and that they're actually working towards. With the advent of these viral videos, cell phone cameras causing the viral videos, there seems to be an erosion in the public trust like never before. Now, the certain communities, as we all know, have always had their difficulties with trust with the police departments, but we are working towards something that's better, brighter for the future. However, too many times with these cell phone cameras and the advent of technology, social media, seems to be that there is an erosion like never before in history. So that's what we really want to talk about today. So let's get into it. Today, I want to talk about some of the current events that have been going on around the country, thanks to cell phone cameras and or other technology. And so that's what we're going to be discussing today. Now, the previous couple podcasts that we did, we took a history of the Second Amendment and how it affected certain communities, particularly the African-American community, and how their rights were stripped away from them. That's in a previous podcast. We also took a look at the immigration debate, and we're going to talk just a little bit more about those particular items today as we take a look at the recent week, the week of July 15th to about July 21st, 2019, and seeing what's going on with that. In the podcast that I did about the history of African-Americans in this country, that's in terms of the Second Amendment, and how the Second Amendment was never applied to, never meant for African-Americans, I came across in my own studies and on continuing furthering my knowledge and education, a podcast called The Sheer Truth, S-C-H-E-E-R, Truth, Sheer Truth. And the host of the program had on his podcast a woman by the name of Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz has a PhD in history. She specializes in the history of African Americans in this country, and particularly the settler colonial time period. She majors in that particular period, the 1617, 1800s, and her specialties also include that, how that particular period affected the African Americans, as well as the native tribes, and how the settlers came in and basically wiped out the indigenous population. So she takes a look at and analyzes the Second Amendment. She wrote a book called Loaded, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. This particular book is really a good book, and I really wish that I would have known about it prior to me actually doing my podcast. Now, it did not change my opinion about or anything in the podcast. It simply undergirded what I had already known and already believed, and which I think I did a fairly good job in demonstrating to you through other sources concerning the plight of African-Americans and how the settlers and colonists, what they did concerning that particular time period, 16th and 1700s. She really has a good breakdown. I ordered the book through Amazon, and I'm already reading it right now. I'm already in chapter 2. It's a really good book. She really writes really well. I'm really enjoying the conversation. One thing in particular that I really enjoy that she talked about is how that it was mandatory for white males, if they were a white male certainly of age, they were mandated morally and legally to have a firearm on them at all times. What was the reason that they were mandated by the government, by the British Crown, and by the local communities to have weapons on them at all times? Well, because they never knew when they were going to be forced to round up to get together as a posse in order to fight off the natives who wanted their lands back. They never knew when they would be rounded up to form a posse in order to chase down some runaway slave. They were actually mandated anytime they went to church, to the store, to their friend's house, to a meeting, any type of social event, even to city hall, whatever that equivalent would be at that particular time, that they would have to be armed at all times for those two purposes in particular. They never knew when they were going to come across a runaway slave, and that they never knew when they would be called upon to act in defense of the community in which they were protecting. Book is called Loaded by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment. It takes a look at how everything was formulated in that particular time, takes a look at the Second Amendment, which is obviously passed 1789, 1791, history of it going back to the 1600s, 1700s, and taking a look at it as it refers, as it infers, and as it affects today's and what's going on today. When we see these people at these rallies and NRA groups and just what we call gun culture, you have to understand where it comes from, as I laid out in the podcast I did, a little bit of history. And this book that she wrote is really just helping to undergird that particular theory and point. Second book I'm also taking a look at right now is called Chokehold by Paul Butler, Policing Black Men. Paul Butler, Chokehold, Policing Black Men. Now, the reason that he named his book Chokehold is in honor of Eric Garner and the chokehold that was applied to him. Now, just as a side note, we understand that the federal government has now decided not to press charges against Eric Garner as far as any type of civil rights violations. They do not believe that they have sufficient evidence to charge the officer Pantaleo with any type of civil rights offenses. Of course, the Attorney General right now is A.G. Barr, and we all understand this particular administration, how they feel about certain people in certain places and certain things, and how they feel about law enforcement and its application of use of force concerning the public in which they're engaged in. So Paul Butler, I watched a video of him on YouTube. He's a university professor at the University of Georgetown, law professor there, former prosecutor. And so he's teaching these particular classes at law at university. So he was given a speech on YouTube, and he called it The Chokehold. Now, the subtitle of the book is Policing Black Men. In honor, it doesn't say in honor. That's the name of the book, is Policing Black Men, period. He writes this in honor of Eric Garner because physiologically, when a chokehold is applied to anyone, the chokehold is really a devastating weapon of offense against someone, because you're cutting off their air supply and or blood supply, depending on where and how the chokehold is applied. So if you're cutting off their circulation and or blood and or wind supply, air supply, then there's an automatic resistance to that physiologically, right? Your body's going to respond. It sends itself into a fight or flight mode. Therefore, you're going to fight and resist because you're not going to allow your body to be subdued in such an easy manner. So the very offensive measures that are placed against you are actually designed to overcome any type of resistance, and therefore resistance ensues. And so this is what he's saying is happening to black men. There have been offensive measures taken against black men, right? The chokehold that he is metaphorically bringing about are the, obviously, slavery, the black codes, Jim Crow. He talks about, you know, as we talked about in the gun debates, the rights that were taken away from African Americans as far as self-defense, their right to be able to defend themselves. Obviously, they couldn't hold weapons unless they were in the military post the Civil War. Some states didn't allow black people to own dogs, or they had to get licenses, whereas white people didn't have to have licenses for weapons and or for dogs. So all this is extra measures, right? Their voting rights were taken away. They had jelly bean tests, poll taxes when they wanted to vote. All this kind of stuff is in of effect the chokehold. Now, the chokehold is, once we understand that they were freed from slavery, except for criminal offenses, then they could be punished and made to work off their debt to society, if you will. And so this was another chokehold, right? White people largely were not subject to those types of responses. And so the responses that Paul Butler's talking about is, this is the chokehold, and it creates the very resistance, because you're going to fight for your life as human beings. You're going to fight for your life and fight for your right to breathe and to live. And so the very resistance to that was then, again, lynching, right? If you're not going to succumb, you're going to be lynched. So you put measures upon people which are harsh and overbearing. They resist those harsh and overbearing efforts, and now you resort to even more harsh and even more overbearing actions, which are lynchings and throwing them in jail. So those are the two books that I just picked up. Really think that people ought to take a look at them. I'm reading both of them simultaneously, which is probably is not always the best of ideas, but nevertheless, I'm doing it anyway. I think they're both fascinating books, and I kind of put one down and pick up another. So that's a little bit about what's been going on the past week. So we talked about Eric Garner, what's going on in the past week. That's what's going on. Eric Garner case, there will be no trial. The New York State said that we're not going to try. There was a grand jury. They said there was not enough information to indict. Took it to the federal court. 5 years later, they decided there's not enough evidence to proceed with the civil rights violation. Go figure. Then we get to Laquan McDonald. We all know the officer there, Jason Van Dyke, was found guilty. He's going to be doing some jail time. But there were four other officers who were charged with conspiracy to cover up. the fact and the acts of what happened on that particular night in Chicago. Those officers were found not guilty by a judge to have not committed the crime of trying to cover up. I did read the judge's decision. That can be read online. You can Google that right online. Not very long read. I did read it. It doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. The judge has the final decision or say. And so that's what's going on with that. Thing is that even though these officers were found not guilty, they will still be terminated by the city of Chicago, so they will no longer be police officers. The city is firing them because policy violations, whatever. I do not think that this will stand. I think that they will appeal it, they being the officers and the police union out there in Chicago. I think that it's going to be appealed, and I think that they're going to lose. 1 or 2 years, I almost guarantee that the officers will be back on the job, and or they will take some type of plea deal, and that's what's going to happen with that. So that's what's happening as far as the officers is concerning the Laquan McDonald case in Chicago. Continuing with the same line about people being fired. Not that I'm gloating or glorying in it, but a Jackson County, Florida Sheriff's Deputy Zachary Wester was found to be planting drugs on people. I mean, we have this perception problem as police officers. We have this perception problem. I say it all the time, and we've got to get through this. This guy was 26 years old, young guy, right? Not some 30-year-old guy or 40-year-old guy, salty veteran. 26 years old, been on the job since 2016, and he's planting drugs on people. Before I get into any more of this, I gotta ask, where did he learn this from? Why is he doing these things? What's going on with that? I don't understand. And yet, as I'll explain in a few minutes, I do actually understand. At least I think I understand. So this Jackson County Forest Service deputy was planting drugs on people. I'm reading from the Washington Post. In the Washington Post, there's a guy by the name of Benjamin Bowling. He was a victim of this officer Wester, Sheriff's Deputy Wester. As a result of this guy planting drugs on him, this guy Bowling, Benjamin Bowling, lost custody of his daughter that he had just gotten back. So that, you know, it's a sad case, and we see where an officer's actions, despicable as they were and are, caused this man to lose custody of his daughter. Just disgusting. Let me read a little bit from the Washington Post here. Wester, who was fired last September, was arrested Wednesday. So they fired this guy, kept the investigation going, and they just charged him last Wednesday. This article was on July 11th. So they just fired him the previous week. So the article was written July 11th. So the previous Wednesday before that is when he was arrested. Back to the article, reading from it. Wester, who was fired last September, was arrested Wednesday and charged with 52 counts of racketeering, false imprisonment, official misconduct, fabricating evidence, and possession of controlled substances, among other charges. Absolutely ridiculous. He's accused of indiscriminately targeting innocent drivers and hauling them off to jail after planting meth or marijuana in their vehicles while feigning a search. There is no question that Wester's crimes were deliberate and that his actions put innocent people in jail. Chris Williams, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement's assistant special agent in charge, said in a news release. Bowling, back to this guy Bowling, innocent victim, who has since been cleared, is just one of 11 known victims in the affidavit. Although the Florida Department of Law Enforcement said that there may be more victims that they have not yet identified, and the case remains under investigation. Even though this guy was arrested, they're still looking into it. At least 119 cases involving Wester have been dropped. In addition to the dropped charges, Circuit Judge Christopher Patterson ordered at least 8 inmates released from correctional facilities last fall, as 263 cases remain under review. So they dropped 119, 263 are under review. Investigators said at a news conference that there did not appear to be any rhyme or reason to the drivers singled out for false arrest on drug possession. Some were parents with a diaper bag in the back seat. Others were young men and women, some crying as they insisted they had never touched the drugs, let alone meth, in their lives. Absolutely disgusting. This guy is watching people cry as he's hauling them off to jail, knowing that they didn't do what they, this kind of stuff. Asked by reporters why Wester would do this, State Attorney William Bill Eddins of Florida's First Judicial Circuit said that was a good question. Investigators were still trying to figure it out for themselves. Let me put on my imagination hat as working in law enforcement for 24 years as to why the sheriff's deputy, this guy, would do such a thing. I'm going to give 3 reasons why I really think that people do things like this. Now, this is just me, my imagination. It's just my imagination, just my own personal speculation as to why someone would do something like this. The first reason that I would suspect that people would do something like this is for promotional type of reasons. And I would also add to that promotional slash elite opportunities. people would do something like this. Officers would do something like this. If they're going for a promotion, sergeant, corporal, lieutenant, etc., they understand that their personnel file might not carry them through. Their testing abilities and or their personnel files might not put them over the edge. So they're looking to boost up their arrests. So that would be one reason. It may seem far-fetched, but people would do it. People would do a lot of things for a lot of different reasons. And if you start getting in the way of their ambitions, if their own selves are getting in the way of their ambitions, then they will take the steps that they think and deem necessary in order to overcome that. So that's just one reason. Maybe they want to join some elite team, work with the DEA, work with the FBI and different task forces, things like that. They would do some things like that. Oh, this guy right here, Wester, he can find a lot of drugs. Put him on the task force. Put him on the gang task force. Put him on the vehicle traffic stop task force. He'll be able to find the drugs. So they're looking for that way to make a name for themselves, get those promotional opportunities and or elite opportunities. The second reason I think that people do things like this is they have to show numbers. You're out there every day driving around. You got to show some kind of productivity in numbers. It's already been established by numerous courts throughout the country that police departments cannot put quotas on their officers. They can't pull over 10 cars a day. They cannot be assigned to give out 20 tickets a day. That does not mean that there is not pressure put upon them in order to gain some type of accolades, attaboys, by the community by their peers. Maybe they want that locker room praise. Maybe when they go out with their boys after a long shift, they want to be able to compare war stories and notes about how many drugs they got today. That's a reason in and of itself is to do that. And the third reason that I would say that people do things like this is just because they're jerks. They're mean, they're evil. Even though they pass backgrounds and psychological tests, they're just mean and evil. They're just jerks, just through and through, just jerks. Who can do anything about that? So those are three reasons that I think that people do it. They do it for promotional opportunities in order to get on elite squads. They do it because they want an attaboy. They want to show that they're tough, that they can get these kind of drugs. Lastly, they do it just because they're jerks, because in all honesty, their mothers just did a terrible job raising them. Again, get back to the question of where did he learn this? Why was he doing it? He's tricking the body cams, not turning them on, just behaving poorly and badly. And I think this is really a problematic. And this is really, really just terrible as to what is going on. You know, he destroyed lives. People lost custody of their kids. People went through divorces. People more than likely violated probation. Just horrible and terrible what this man was doing to people. And then again, he's embarrassing law enforcement. But, you know, that does not seem to matter to some people. Absolutely terrible. In the line of work that we do as police officers, we've got to have some form of integrity. We've got to be integral. We've got to have some morality about us. The oath of the office really has to mean something. And for far too long, for far too many, it has not meant anything. This guy was indiscriminately doing it. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm glad that he was doing it indiscriminately, not just planting drugs on black people or Hispanic people or all males. He was doing it to females. He was just doing it to anybody just to boost up his own numbers. Maybe he did that intentionally so he wouldn't draw attention to himself. But thank goodness for the prosecutor there who was on it, who went through his body cam feeds and noticed that his body cam feeds did not match the reports. And of course, all these people are saying they didn't do it. They never touched drugs. And so the prosecutor there looked into it and found what we now know to be just complete fabrications on this guy's part. Just terrible, terrible waste of time. All the people, how much money did he cost the city? Cost the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. Terrible. So more officers are going to be fired in response to this social media backlash that's going on. As far as the social media backlash, in previous podcasts, in the immigration podcast, I talked about this Chief Carla Provost. And that she was a member of a secret Facebook group. Now, this secret Facebook group was about Border Patrol agents. And the Border Patrol chief was Carla Provost. She should have been stopping it. And all the racist memes that were going on in this particular secret Facebook group called 1015. Which means, well, I guess, is their code for immigrant in custody or person in custody. So they had this secret Facebook group. 9,500 of them were together. It is since disclosure of this particular group. It has since dwindled. They've changed their names and gone on, things like that. This is where leadership is so important. Leadership sets the tone for any type of organization, not just police organizations, but any and every organization. It's leadership. And the chief was part of this group where they're doing these racist tones and making fun of AOC, Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez. and just, you know, racist, raunchy memes that were passing back and forth, and just terrible. So she was a part of it. So that's one exposure on Facebook. The Plain View Project did another expose. They went through 8 police departments throughout the country, compared Facebook posts of police officers, and found many of them to be racist and over the top, celebrating violence, saying people should be shot and things like that. Yeah, I mean, you're a police officer. You have to work within the bounds of the law. And if you don't believe that, which apparently many of these people do not, then you should not be a police officer. You really should second guess your line of work and determine whether you want to be there. You really have to start thinking for yourself. So the Plain View Project did that. The Border Patrol agents, including their chief, were exposed. This is another one that I did not know about. This is from revealnews.org, Reveal, R-E-V-E-A-L, news, N-E-W-S.org. They wrote an article, and it's part of a 3-part series released June 14, 2019, To Protect and Slur. This is the name of the article, To Protect and Slur. Inside Hate Groups on Facebook, Police Officers Trade Racist Memes, Conspiracy Theories, and Islamophobia. At first, I thought that this was just a continuation of the Plain View Project, but this is something that was completely different. This was written by Will Careless and Michael Corley, June 14, 2019. I read a little bit of it. Hundreds of active duty and retired law enforcement officers from across the U.S. are members of Confederate, anti-Islam, misogynistic, and anti-government militia groups on Facebook, a Reveal investigation has found. These cops have worked at every level in law enforcement, from tiny rural sheriff's department to the largest agencies in the country, such as the LAPD and NYPD. They work in jails and schools and airports and boats and in trains and in patrol cars. And Reveal, from the Center for Investigative Reporting, discovered they also read and contribute to groups such as White Lives Matter and Death to Islam Undercover. The groups cover a range of extremist ideologies. Some present themselves publicly as being dedicated to benign historical discussion of the Confederacy, but are replete with racism inside. Some trade in anti-Semitic and anti-immigrant memes. Some are openly Islamophobic. And almost 150 of officers we found are involved with violent anti-government groups such as the Oath Keepers and 3%er. More than 50 departments launched internal affairs investigations after being presented without findings. In some cases, saying that they examined officers' past conduct to see if their online activity mirrored their policing in real life. And some departments have taken action, with at least one officer being fired for violating departmental policies. Skipping down a little bit, most of the hateful Facebook groups these cops frequent are closed, meaning only members are allowed to see the content posted by other members. Reveal joined dozens of these groups and verified the identities of almost 400 current and retired law enforcement officials who are members. One guard at the Angola prison in Louisiana, Jeffrey Cosby, was a member of 56 extremist groups, including 45 Confederate groups and one called Band the NAACP. A detective at the Harris County Sheriff's Office, James J.T. Thomas, was a member of the closed Facebook group, the White Privilege Club. It goes on and on. This is part of a 3-part story. Really, really despicable that this is going on. You guys can read this. The revealnews.org. To Protect and Slur, Inside Hate Groups on Facebook, Police Officers Trade Racist Memes, Conspiracy Theories, and Islamophobia is the name of the article. Absolutely disgusting. As I'm reading this type of articles, like when I read about the Plain View Project's article, I read many websites in different police forums. And what I often read is very disturbing in my mind, because these officers who are commenting on, I assume that they're officers, are commenting on these police websites, and they are saying the police officers need to stay off of social media. That is not the answer. I'm going to say this as vehemently as I can, that is not the answer. Staying off social media is not the answer. The answer is not believing this type of garbage in the first place. But this is the problem, that these people have secret lives that they're leading and that they are believing. Sure, they've stayed out of trouble. Sure, they've passed background tests. Sure, they have passed psychological tests. But these people are slipping through the cracks. And to answer this type of garbage with, you ought to stay off of social media, well, it's just saying that you ought to just keep it hidden. I'm glad that these people bring this stuff to light. I'm actually glad when people walk around with Confederate flags on their cars. There was a video that went on YouTube about some woman who had called for some work to be done. And when the guy showed up, he had a big Confederate flag hanging off the back of his truck. And she's like, okay, no thanks. You know, listen, I don't need your help. So the guy says, listen, I'll take the flag down. That's a problem. The lady's like, no, you don't have to take the flag down. You keep the flag up. This is what you like. It's what you believe. You go ahead and believe that. But I don't have to pay you for your services, and I don't have to use you for your services. And that's exactly the attitude that I would have. Just be out front and out in the open with it. The problem is the secrecy. You want to believe what you want to believe about Islamic people, transsexuals, Jewish people, Black people, Hispanic people. You can go ahead and believe that all day and all night, right? But you should not be policing people. You took an oath of office, and this oath means nothing to people, right? The problem, one of the biggest problems that I have with white supremacy is its secrecy and its adherence to lies. They hold on to those lies, and this is the problem, right? You want to do what you want to do. You want to believe what you want to believe. Go ahead and believe it, but the secrecy, right? This idea that you got to fight and cheat to get what you want and then maintain control and maintain power. You don't want anyone else to win. You don't want anyone else to be of a competitive force to you. You have no spirit of competition. Okay, well, listen, that's your attitude. That's your problem. But you took an oath, right? And they don't believe in this oath. People who do that do not believe in this oath. They just say what they got to say, and they just do what they got to do when the door shuts. And when they drive out of the police station, drive out the parking lot, they're just totally a different person. And I'm talking about when they're on patrol, how they treat people, right? And then when they go home and they get on the computer in silence and think nobody's watching, this is when they post all this stuff. That's why the Plainview Project and this Reveal News and the other article by The Intercept exposing the Border Patrol agents and all these different people, I believe it was actually ProPublica who did the story about the Border Patrol agents. Regardless, whoever is doing this, keep doing your job. Thank goodness for these watchdogs who are doing this stuff. So this is the problem that I have. So many of these officers are just going down. In Philadelphia, 13 officers who were part of that Plainview Project's expose who revealed many officers who are engaged in this type of repulsive behavior online. 13 of those officers are now losing their job. Philadelphia is a majority Black city, from what I understand, 50-60% Black. And if you have these issues about Islamic people, Black people, you should not be working there. You should not be working there. So I certainly hope that these people who are being fired are not picked up by other places. Connecticut has a law that states if you've been fired and or if you resign while you're under investigation for any type of misconduct, then you cannot be picked up by another agency within this state. Pennsylvania should really adopt that same type of law, because going from one place to another is exactly what happened at the East Pittsburgh shooting of the boy's last name is Rose. You guys can Google that. I talked about it in a previous podcast. I'm not going to rehash that. So that's what's going on there. So just to recap, I went over a couple of books I think you guys should read. Loaded, Disarming the History of the Second Amendment by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. Chokehold, Policing Black Bodies by Paul Butler. Check out those books. We talked about the Eric Garner case. Not going to be charged. The officer there is not going to be charged. Talked about Laquan McDonald. Jason Van Dyke is going to jail, but the four officers are not found not guilty. However, they will be terminated. Philadelphia cops will be terminated as a result of their actions. Some police officers are still under investigation thanks to the Plainview Project and thanks to the Reveal News Project. Florida officer was fired for planting drugs on people. Last story I want to discuss in the realm of what the heck. Police sheriff's deputy in Ohio was going to the IRS office. He meets the security agent at the door. The security guard tells him, listen, you can't carry that gun in here. The officer, black officer, then says, And I hate saying that it was a black officer, but the officer was black and the security guard was white. The officer then turns around and says, okay, I'll come back later. Now he's in full uniform, and all this can be watched on YouTube. He's in full uniform. He then is leaving. The security guard then pulls his gun and then tells the guy to stop and tries to take the officer into custody. Someone else who's seeing this is going on calls 911. The police from that particular city in Ohio respond, and they are floored when they see that the guy that the person who was complaining about on 911. Now let's go back to the 911 tape. The 911 caller is just saying that there's a guy here with a gun in the IRS office and he won't leave. He won't leave. Well, what's he doing? He just won't leave, and he's got a gun. He never tells him that he's a plainly clothed police officer in full uniform. Absolutely ridiculous. So when the officers get there, they see what's going on, they get everybody's story, and they end up arresting, rightfully so, the security guard for menacing. He pulls his gun out. You're going to shoot a cop? Taking out your gun is a sign that you are really ready to kill someone. It's not just a show of force. It is a show of force that you are going to kill someone. You're going to shoot them. So this police officer was leaving the scene. And now you're going to try to take him into custody? To do what? To arrest him? To call the police and have him arrested? A lot of speculation has been going on as to what was going on through the head of this guy. Now, in my opinion, this security guard was just a complete doofus, moron, who probably has trouble tying his shoes in the morning, or he was completely jealous that this person had this job and he didn't think he had this job. And that's what a lot of people, pundits, are believing and leaning towards, that he was just simply jealous that he was a security guard and this other guy was a sheriff's deputy and he wanted that position, thought he should have had that position, and this other person didn't have the right to be where he was and didn't have the right to believe to do what he was doing and to have his job that he had. And it's my job by right. Think about that what you will. I don't know. I'm not in this guy's head, but the guy's under arrest. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for today. We took a look at the week of July 15th to the 21st. We took a look at some of the articles that are going on, some what's going on, a couple of books I think you guys should check out in your free time. We took a look at the cases that are going on, and we took a look at some of these cases that are going on. And so I hope you learned something today. So what can we do? I always try to end this podcast because I'm trying to bring the community and these people together. As law enforcement officers, number one, let me say, I'm very disappointed when I read in these forums that the answer is just to stay off social media. That's not the answer. In fact, that's the problem. Secrecy has always been a problem. Sunlight's the best disinfectant. But I also understand that some people are not interested in sunlight. They're not interested in disinfecting. They're not interested in any of that. They want to say what they want to say. They want to do what they want to do, and they want to believe what they want to believe. And so this is a problem that I have, and this causes the problems and friction with the community. But again, some people just don't care. So what can you do as a citizens? I think you should continue to be and stay active. Vote out mayors. Vote out city council members who are not prosecuting people, who are not getting these convictions, who are not doing everything they can to make the world a better and safer and more equal place. Vote them out of office. Sign the petitions. Protest. Let them know your displeasure with chiefs of police. Let them know your displeasure with the mayors. Let them know your displeasure with the prosecutors. Let them know that you're unhappy. They certainly have no qualms about letting it be known that the prosecutor in the Justice Smollett case, that they are not happy with her. And they're doing something about it. They're protesting. They're writing letters. They're doing everything they can to remove her from office. It's a ridiculous case, but this is what they're doing. So if you're unhappy with what's going on in your neighborhood, in your community, then you have to exert the same amount of force, the same amount of determination in order to get these people removed from office and to let your will be known that you're not going to stand for this kind of thing. Next thing I think we should do is really continue to empower ourselves. Make sure that we are economically empowered, because people in this country only listen to people who have any type of economic power. So we have to develop that economic base, economic power, in order to force the hands of people, in order to force them to listen to us. As far as the people planting drugs on people, listen, you got to be very careful and very, very smart about what you're doing. As officers, obviously, I don't condone that. I think that you ought to work your way up through the chains, through the proper way. I gave three samples of what I think the people, a reason why an officer would do that. First one was because they want to be on an elite unit or gain some type of promotional status. They want to keep their numbers up. And finally, they're just a jerk. Citizen, they should know what qualifications are for people who are assigned to specialized units. Who's on the GTF and how they get there? Gang task force, how they get there? Who's got the special assignment to work with the DEA? Who's getting the special promotion to different positions? And if part of that is look at the personnel files as far as how many arrests and how many tickets they hand out, then I think that maybe you ought to take a look at that and see if that needs to be the case. Do these officers need to have their jackets gone over, fine-tuned comb? Do these officers need to have these different amount of arrests to be considered for these different positions? Just something to think about. I'm not saying that every single officer who gets any type of promotion or any type of assignment is automatically cheating the system, planting drugs, or doing some other type of nefarious conduct. I do not believe that. This is one officer who's caught. There have been cases of other officers planting drugs on people, no doubt. I just gave some reasons as to why they've been doing that. That does not mean that every officer who is going up to the chain or is assigned to a special assignment is cheating the system. I do not believe that. And don't quote Captain Hunter as saying that type of thing. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys learned something for today. Stay active, stay busy, stay watching your people, stay watching your police officers. Police officers, get out into the community, talk to these people, get out of your cars, don't just run their names, get out there, shoot hoops, play some chess, coach, volunteer, get to know your people in your communities, no matter what community it is that you're policing. Don't be afraid of them, right? If you want to stop being racist, if you want to stop all this kind of crazy nonsense, the best way is to get to know people and get to be exposed to different people with different cultures. And you'll find out that they really do have the same thoughts, dreams, goals, and desires and visions that you have. And so this is what we want to do. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. I hope you guys learned something. Shoot me a line on Twitter, Captain L Hunter on Instagram, CPT L Hunter on Twitter, CPT L Hunter. That's Captain Hunter for both on Instagram. HunterPoliceConsulting@gmail.com is the email. HunterPoliceTraining.com is the website. Hit me up. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. If there's a show topic you want to do, or if I'm saying something that you completely disagree with and you want to be on the podcast and we have a conversation about it, let me know. I'm more than willing to have a conversation about these thoughts and ideas. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Hope to see you guys be well. Hope to see you guys soon. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.